to 35. Ben Salter's voice was gone. He had spent the better part of 2 days, no, three, or was it four, screaming his lungs out. He'd lost track of the days. It had been impossible to have a sense of time in the windowless, barely lit little room that defined his universe. It never brightened, it never darkened. There was just the one bulb, the plastic chair, the mattress, the box of packaged foods, the bottled water, the concrete floor, the concrete walls, the steel door, the 5-gallon bucket. There had been long hours when he felt he was now beyond fear. Whole stretches of time when he thought he might never be afraid again. It was a game of rationalization he played with himself to occupy his time as he waited and waited and waited. If he wanted to kill me, he would have done it already. If he wanted to kill me, why would he have left me with food and water? If. And then, just as he was sure he was impervious to fear, he would think of Martina. He could almost feel himself inside of her, almost taste the smoky perfume of bourbon on her hot breath as they kissed, almost hear her sigh, feel her muscles contract. Then it all turned to dust, and the panic would wash over him so that it nearly choked the air out of his lungs. Martina was dead, and the thought of it made him want to rip his heart out. At first he had tried convincing himself that the guy in the black fatigues was just toying with him, that Ethan Farley or one of the other handymen had found her, and that Martina was okay, a little traumatized for sure, but safe. Maybe back home in California with her parents, on the beach near her house, watching her dad surf. No, that fantasy had vanished the first day. He had cried over it for a long time, but his tears, like his voice, were gone. For however long he'd been there, the only sounds he'd had for company were the sounds of the ocean. He never wanted to hear the sound of waves again. He was sick to death of waves. He was sick to death of the sound of his own internal voice. He was working himself up again into one of the fits of anger that had come over him during his time in captivity. Fits that had possessed him to bruise both of his hands and break a toe pounding at the steel door. Ben had done far more damage to himself than his captor had done to him. Then, as the anger was building up in him, he thought he heard something just beneath the swoosh and roar of the waves. He held his breath and funneled every ounce of energy he had left into his hearing. Wait, he thought, there it was again. A car. He heard tires on the road. He hadn't heard that sound in days, and hearing it could only mean one thing. They were coming for him. Ben Salter did not hesitate. He centered the chair directly beneath the bare bulb. Not high enough. Even if he stood on tippy toes and stretched his arm as far as he could, he wouldn't be able to reach the bulb. He surveyed the room, though he already knew he had only one option. He took the 5-gallon bucket, his ersatz toilet, made sure the lid was closed, and placed it on the seat of the chair. The bucket's flat, round bottom did not conform comfortably to the molded plastic of the chair, but Ben had no choice. He needed a weapon, and he had long ago decided that a broken bulb was the best he could do. He climbed up the chair and balanced himself atop the bucket lid. The bucket teetered as he reached. The hot bulb burned the skin of his fingers. "Shit," he said in a whisper, blowing on his hand. He realized too late that he should have ripped some fabric off the mattress before trying this. Now he didn't have time for that. He cursed himself for not having gotten the bulb earlier, but he had balked at that idea. The thought of sitting there, nude, alone, in total darkness for days or weeks on end, wasn't an option he had been willing to entertain. He took a deep breath and girded himself against the searing pain he knew was coming. He clutched the bulb, unscrewing it even as the smell of his burning skin nauseated him. He had the bulb. Unfortunately, the little room was now totally dark, and he could not see. As he tried to work his way down off the bucket, it and the chair went sideways. He jumped off, his ankle twisting in a way that it wasn't designed to twist as it hit the floor. Ben winced and writhed in pain, but forced himself not to scream. He crawled to the wall, leaned against it, and worked his way upright. He gently broke the bulb against the wall as if he were cracking an eggshell, careful not to damage the yolk. The glass broke in a few shards, one about 3 inches long and very sharp. He felt his face work itself into a smile. It was good to smile again, even at the thought of revenge. Ben heard footsteps on the floor above him, footsteps on a creaking staircase. Keys jangled. A key slid into a lock. The lock clicked. A bolt pulled back. Ben held his breath. The door pushed in, a swath of light rushing in with it. The man in black stepped halfway into the room, but stopped when the tip of the door hit the toppled chair. He immediately stopped pushing the door. A gloved hand came up, and in it was a familiar black automatic with a sound suppressor at the end of the barrel. Ben exploded, screaming and slashing at the hand. The sharp edge of the glass ripped through the glove material and gashed the skin beneath it. The glove soaked through with blood, and the gun fell to the floor with a dull clink. Then Ben slashed at the mask, cutting into the gunman's face. "You bastard!" The now gunless hand swung out at Ben, but Ben was like a wild man. He slashed at the man's neck, the shard catching in the flesh of the man's body between the neck and shoulder. As Ben tugged on the glass to free it, it snapped off in his hand. The remainder of the brittle glass crumbled. Ben reared back and jumped at his captor, but it was no good. That second of hesitation it took for him to rear back was enough time for his captor to regain his wits. The man in black stepped fully into the room and unleashed a vicious elbow to Ben's nose. Ben's world went foggy and filled with pain the likes of which he'd never before experienced. Tears and blood came pouring out of him, filling his eyes, nose, and mouth. But before he could even collapse, a hard fist connected square with his jaw. He was down now, disoriented, choking on his blood and mucus. Then he felt something against the skin of his neck, and his world went away. In its place, only blackness.